Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy somewhere in the middle of 4th of July weekend, but it already 4th of July happened, and hell, your locally fireworks already happened.
Hopefully you still all have your fingers.
Hopefully at least some of you do, because, yeah, it's that weekend where it seems like we always hear about somebody doing something stupid.
My first wife, her brother was one of those statistics. Luckily, he was able to keep all his hands. He's got like eight of them. He's an octopus. What's going on, Al? All his fingers, but yeah, he held onto one of those things too long, and pop! And he went to the hospital, and they were able to save all his digits. But yeah, he was one of the statistics.
Right. There are times, honestly, where I probably should have been a statistic. So there was one year. It was one of the first few years that Rach and I were dating, and we went over to her uncle's house out in Algonac, and we were launching off mortars and things, as you do on 4th of July weekend, especially out there, because, I mean, A, you're right on the lake, and it's just such a good, like, he's right on Lake, whatever the lake is there, Lake Huron, and also, it's their annual, their festival, the Pickerel Festival, or whatever it is, like,
gotcha.
Not even making that up. So, people are blowing off fireworks like crazy, including us, and we ran into a couple issues. At one point, one of the little tubes that you go launch the mortars with just tipped over. Like, oh God, someone run, who's running and taking the cover on this, because it's literally right directly under, you know, aimed towards the garage in the house. Like, oh no, we got to do something about this. And then if that were bad enough, I ended up with something. I think it was like a bottle rocket that went off directly under my chair. Under my damn lawn chair. I'm like, well, that's... Oh, we got to get out of here. Before that blows up in my backside. No, literally. I have not had the best luck with that sort of thing. And I wonder why it is that Rachel won't let us set off fireworks tomorrow.
It's probably for the best.
Realistically, it is. I know it is. Like,
yeah, she's the voice of reason.
She is, and there's... You've been to my house. There's too many trees and things in that small little yard. Like,
yes.
It would be my luck something would catch fire.
Yeah.
Don't really need that, I suppose.
But it doesn't matter, because so many people in our neighborhood, in a tight little area where there's like maybe 20 feet in between houses, there's still some jackanape blowing off mortars.
Every time. Like, you can't get more than a half a block in any direction without somebody setting things off. I mean, I know they're going to be setting them off by the reservoir there in the thriving metropolis of Columbiaville, where we call home.
Yeah.
But everyone else is going to be joining in, so I won't feel like I'm as obligated to blow things up personally.
Right.
So at least I got that going for me, which is nice for whatever it might be worth.
Yep. Well, I think we're going to try to catch the fireworks in Otter Lake, which it's always a neat time over there.
Is that tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight.
Okay.
Oh, No. Dang it, it is Saturday. Okay, well, we might be able to see him from your house.
I say, I mean, if we need to take a field trip over there, we can, but trust me, there will be plenty of fireworks going on in our little neck of the woods. I find it weird, though. Lapeer has theirs on Wednesday, or had theirs on Wednesday?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I think they want to be like the first one on the list.
So I guess.
Because they don't want to compete with other people. Like, Frankenmuth has a really good display.
They really do. Like, they go all out for theirs.
Yeah. We, last year, I think I said this on the air last year, but last year we went to Frankenmuth and we parked over at Bronner's. We were too far away from the fireworks to really appreciate it, and we happened to park next to the Silent Night Cathedral, or something. It's basically like a little church, little chapel dedicated to the song Silent Night. And there's two in the world, one in here in Frankenmuth and one in Amsterdam. And
it seems an odd place for the other one.
Yeah, so we're sitting there, and we're hearing the song Silent Night over and over and over in like six different languages while watching 4th of July fireworks. It was surreal.
That seems like it would be pretty surreal. Wow, Christmas in July, really.
Silent, pow, ooh, ah.
Just love those things right up against each other. I, for one, am looking forward to the annual people complaining about their... about, oh my God, my dogs are traumatized because they were subjected to fireworks.
Yeah.
Complaints from people.
Although those posts are already out there. Listen, okay, as a dog owner, for most of my life, I was not a dog owner, and I felt the same way as I do now. Folks, I'm talking to the dog owners. Your neighbors have to deal with your dog barking at all hours of the day and night for the other 364 days. They have to deal with your dog doing its business in their yard.
I found landmines in my driveway.
Yeah, going through their trash. I think little Sparky can deal with one day. Turn up the TV. Have things going on in the house. I mean, they talk to your vet. They have like little edible things, you know. Maybe you do an edible. Sparky does an edible, and you just pop on some Bob Marley and have a wonderful time.
Get your dog high. I like it.
Yeah,
that seems like sound advice if I've ever heard it.
Yeah, I mean, they got those weighted blankets you put around the dog. Because I mean, my dog went absolute guano loco last 4th of July. I'm laying in bed, and she tried to jump. She's not allowed on the bed, but she's like, I'm on the bed today, Dad. She jumped and bent my glasses all up and
oh geez,
almost untied Dorothy. It was crazy. It was just nuts.
I thought you had her chained to the radiator now.
Well, it was a holiday.
That's fair.
I'm a softy.
such a generous, giving man. He really, truly is.
Better put Dorothy on the. Oh, she's probably already is.
I'd be surprised if she's not already, but yeah. We'll go ahead and add her just in case, you know, a second time just to really double down the point.
Yeah, just say it a couple times so she hears the show. She's like, what?
What?
Twice? What did I do now?
What did they do?
But yeah, I mean, yeah, dogs, please understand, dog owners, that your dog's not going to like it. Don't expect everybody else to change what they do. You need to change what you do to keep Sparky safe, because on the 5th of July every year, it's, have you seen my dog? I don't know what happened. I let him out to do his business, and now he's in Detroit.
I didn't have him on a leash and just, like, open the door and let him run out, and I don't know what happened to him. How could this have possibly happened?
How could this be my fault? It's the guy who's firing off fireworks. It's his fault.
It's all him. It's nothing to do with my lack of personal responsibility whatsoever. Yeah, never
exactly.
Is.
Exactly.
No, these people are. Good Lord.
He's going to whimper. Sparky's going to cry a little bit. Chew a little fur off, but after a while, because I mean, and folks, by the way, there are ordinances with fireworks. It's done at like midnight or something like that. Don't be one of those people like 3 a.m. whoop pow or anything like that.
Yeah, don't be. No one likes that guy.
Yeah,
they really don't. Don't ever be. No one wants to be the guy who's waking up the neighborhood. Well, I mean, they probably want to be the guy who's waking up to the neighborhood at 3 in the morning. But no one likes that guy.
No.
Don't be that guy. A public service announcement brought to you by Happy Hour. And also, yeah, your dogs can just deal with it. Like, my wife, she has been a dog person her entire life. She's always, her family's always had dogs.
Yeah.
But you know what else they like to do? Blow stuff up because America,
right.
Freedom,
right.
Spirit,
right.
Attitude, so on and so forth.
Yeah, you know what else? Your dog doesn't like trick-or-treaters. That's just the rule. I mean, my dog hates trick-or-treaters.
Well, yeah,
wants to eat them all.
Well, yeah, because you know you're bringing these tasty treats over to them, and they can't eat any of them.
Yeah.
And then plus the candy.
Yeah, right. So I mean, that's just dog owners. I get it, but you know, so I don't know.
We get it, but you really got to get over yourselves. Like, and this is coming from someone who's very much the I like most animals better than most people.
Yeah. It's like, Sean, let's go to this party. Yeah, I don't really. They got a dog. All right, let's go.
He's not kidding. I've been at parties where I've spent more time playing with the owner's animals than I have engaging with any human. Rachel's much the same way.
Yeah.
It really explains a lot about both of us, does it not?
Last Saturday, we had the Sessions Concert Series over at Cascade and Lounge, and everything was going fine, but the highlight of the night was somebody brought a dog in.
And it just stopped the whole thing. Even the band stage, like, oh, there's a pup.
I don't
hang it up at him.
They're all singing like, you know, hard edged lyrics and everything else, and they just softened right up when they saw a dog
singing about death and destruction. And oh, look at that adorable dog.
Why do I think Slayer would be in the middle of Rain and Blood? And we're like, oh, I'm let me rub. Who wants a belly rub? Who wants a belly rub?
I don't care how hardcore you think you are. When a cute cat or dog comes up wanting pets, you give that animal pets.
That's
always.
Right.
Don't care. Unless you're just a garbage human being, in which case I can't help you.
You're right.
And I say this is a pretty garbage human being, but you know, that's, I don't make the rules, man. We just follow them.
Right.
We do have a lot of fun to get to today, as it is the, you know, it is a holiday weekend and all. So I think we're going to stick mostly away from things of a sports-like nature, but we do have to kind of unpack the aftermath of the Red Wings and the opening days of free agency and kind of ask some critical questions. So I think we'll go ahead and do that next and then just kind of slack off for the latter half of the show. It is happy hour. Stick around back after this. So NHL free agency has been open for like a week now. Yep. And, well, the Wings, I don't know about you. I'm kind of disappointed.
A lot of people are. And I think that Yzerman and company, I think they're disappointed because they had their sights on some making some acquisitions, but it just didn't work out. And Stevie is not going to be spending the money that a lot of these teams are. There are teams out there giving a lot of money, to people that may or probably won't be worth those contracts. Those big 7-year contracts.
Oh, you mean like Justin Hall?
Yeah. We didn't give him a 7-year contract.
No, it was 3 years, but that was 3 years too many.
Yeah, okay, perfect example. How many times do you see somebody that's been signed to a 7-8-year deal where at the end you're like, I'm really glad that happened. I'm glad that that was some good money spent. Usually by the 6th or 7th year, it's like, God bless America. Can we get rid of this guy somewhere? Can we drop him off at a family upstate? What's going on?
There have been times where it's worked out, though. I mean, Larkin's in the midst of, I believe, a 7 or 8 year deal, and I don't think anyone's going to be regretting that by the time it's done.
No, but for every Larkin, every Zetterberg, every Datsyuk, there's a Rick DiPietro. You know, when they signed him for a decade and a half deal.
Well, that's because the Islanders are run by morons. Well,
and most of these guys are. I mean, I'm not bagging on Steven Stamkos. I wanted Steven Stamkos. But the money that the Predators were dishing out, oh my, they were like a sailor on payday. I mean, they were doling out cash.
That's true. And I will grant you that all day. But there are some other things that just didn't sit right with me. For example, Shane Gostisbehere got a deal that the average annual value of that deal is less than what the Wings paid him last season.
Maybe.
What did we clear Jake Walman's deal for?
I think they had it all planned out for Stamkos, and I think Stamkos pulled a Kaiser Soze and decided at the last minute, I want to go to the trendy metropolis of Nashville where I can get the money. And this is a team that made the playoffs last year, so maybe I got more of a chance to win. And I mean, kudos to Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators, because you got Stamkos, you got Marchessault, Conn Smythe Trophy winner. And does Stamkos have a Conn Smythe? I think. They're really stockpiling the players, so expect Nashville to do some things. It just didn't work out for Detroit in many ways. They tried to make a trade for Trouba, and come to find out, Mrs. Trouba was kiboshing that whole trade. Come to find out, she's a doctor or a lawyer. She has a very high-priced practice in New York, and
it's not a practice; it's a residency.
Oh.
So she's still going to become a nurse. She's like in the last year of her residency at this hospital.
Yeah.
And you can transfer those, but it is kind of a royal pain. Also, to answer your question, it doesn't look like Stamkos has a Conn Smythe now.
Oh, okay. He should.
He's got a couple of Rocket Richards, a Messier trophy for whatever it's worth, and two-time All-Star.
And you know what? A lot of people have given me flack about this on message boards. Sean Cantwell is about to give me flack, and that's okay. Bring it on. The fact that Stamkos would be able to come to Detroit and wear number 91 is slim to none. The chances of that would be nil, because that is Fedorov's number. It should be hanging from the rafters.
I agree. I'm not going to give you a hard time about that, because I agree that, yes, Fedorov's jersey should have been in the rafters like a decade ago.
But Stamkos wouldn't be able to wear it, and hockey players, they get attached to their numbers. They get known for their numbers. It's, you know, a superstition to some people. And, you know, so can't wear it in Detroit. Or at least, you know, unless Fedorov would come down from high on the mountain and, you know, gift him with a Stamkos 91 jersey, but nobody would see that coming. It didn't pan out. Now, we were able to re-sign Kane, so it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, getting the bike you had last year again for Christmas, but
kind of exactly that.
But you know, you know what? It's a good bike now. Last time you're like, oh man, it's new wheels. I don't know anything about it. And then they're like, oh okay, I'm kind of digging this. So we've got that. They Tyler Mott from Tampa Bay. That signing came by on Tuesday, and. Yeah, maybe Iserman is just trying to piece together that U of M team from 2015 because I think
it kind of looks that way, does it not?
Because I think Jack Campbell was on that team too.
So was Kopp. So was JT Compher. Yeah. What are we missing? Like, there's one like big. I think we're only like missing
Wierenski,
one big.
Zach Wierenski.
Oh, Wierenski, I forgot about Wierenski. Yes, you're right.
So maybe we just need to make a few calls to. Is he still in Columbus? I think he is.
He is.
So I don't know.
I think he's like signed for a million-year deal down there too.
If he dies and gets recreated as a butterfly, that butterfly is a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
He's just stuck there forever, whether he likes it or not.
There's big ghost hunters go around Nationwide Arena. Is there anybody here? Woo, Wierenski, I'm still in this deal. This deal sucks.
They still won't let me out of this.
They're cutting my ice time. So, yeah, should people be disappointed? Yes. They have every right to be disappointed because usually, like last year, we got everybody. I mean, we got a lot of people to work with. Some of them panned out. Some of them didn't. Some were a nice surprise. But I think there's still some free agents out there. I'm just glad to see that we didn't lose a lot of the big names. With Kane, it was announced on Wednesday that they were able to get qualifying offers for both Raymond and Moritz Seider, as well as Jonathan Berggren and a fourth cat.
I'm pretty amazed that, because I honestly thought Berggren was a goner. I did. Because it didn't seem like they had much of a place for him on this roster. It seemed like he was not happy with the fact that he could barely crack the big league club. I figured he was honestly gone as soon as
a lot of people did. I think he did too. But he was kind of like, he's kind of right looking at the all the other players going around. He's like, well, I may not be able to get what I'm looking for. So I think it's like for a 1 year deal or something like that. And Joey Valeno, he's sticking around for I don't know the terms of those.
Those numbers come out necessarily yet.
Yeah, I've also been lazy and just haven't done any looking. But, you know, well, it's just good.
It's a holiday weekend. We can be a little bit lazy.
Yeah,
it's fine.
So I'm assuming Raymond and Seider are going to be locked in for quite a few years.
I hope so. Well, those were qualifying offers. I think that's just to stave off the them being free agents this season. I don't think that addresses the extensions that they're ultimately going to need.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully sooner rather than later. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's some incentives there. You know, you get score this much, you get that. Because, I mean, Raymond had a great season. He really, truly did.
He did.
So I'm expecting big things out of that.
Where you better get big things out of him.
Dang it. We'll send you to a nice family upstate, boy.
I just want to know how the goalie situation is going to resolve itself.
Well, we got all the goalies, so we should be set.
I know, but that's the thing. I mean, we know Campbell's going down to GR, but are they really going to carry three goalies this season?
They needed them last season. So, I mean, I think Husso, Lyon, and...
Jack Campbell.
Jack...
Or not Campbell, Cam Talbot.
Cam Talbot, yeah. Cam Talbot, yeah.
And who's probably your starter this year.
Yeah, you think so? Over Husso?
Husso was not good last year.
No, he wasn't.
He was also injured often last year.
Lyon did a really good job, but he was overworked.
Yeah, you're probably going to have Talbot and Lyon fighting it out for the 1 and 2 spot. I don't know at that point that you need a third goalie on the roster necessarily. I mean, you can call up a Campbell or maybe a, dare I say, a Sebastian Casa.
Mikasa Esukasa. That'd be great. But what do they do with Husso? How you doing?
Husso,
believe in him, shall not perish from this. do they trade him? I mean, they're not going to outright release him. I don't know how much more money they owe him.
Maybe because he's a free agent after this season, and they owe him 4.7.
Yeah, they're not going to.
We're stuck with him.
We're stuck with him. And maybe they know something that we don't. Maybe he is showing some lingering injuries where Yzerman is basically just taking out an insurance policy.
That could very well be, but I assume that Campbell was the insurance policy and not, because it's not likely that you're going to need four goaltenders at any point during an NHL season. We only needed three last year.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you even, it's not very often that you necessarily go through that many. I mean, the third might get a bit of time if there's an injury, or might ride the bench as a backup to the backup, and then never actually get into a game. But I don't see a point in which you're going to have a fourth goaltender call up unless
things go really wrong.
Unless things just go horrifically wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to find out. I think there's another trade going on.
I hope you're right.
They're probably not going to wait until March to make that happen, but We shall see what's going on.
Yeah, but it does kind of lead me to a bit of a burning question that I have that I want to put out to the Red Wings faithful, the hockey elite such as it is.
Sure.
And I'm going to ask that question coming up on the other side of the break. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Yeah, how you like that tease right there, huh? That's some good radio in right there. Yeah, that's right. We're not done with hockey yet. It is happy hour, and I have a burning question that I feel like is best posed to you as a card-carrying member of the hockey elite.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, they have a whole secret handshake and meetings and the whole bit. I'm not invited to any of this because I am merely a guest in the house of the hockey elite.
Oh, it's basically just quoting Slapshot and Letterkenny and
watching the Fight Night at the Joe.
Yeah, pretty much, and then just saying Bob Uhr was better than Gretzky. It's a weird group. It's a really weird group.
It really truly is, and that's, I'm kind of okay being on the outside of it. But my burning question is right now, if you're a Wings fan, can you really argue at this point in time that this team is a better team than it was before Monday at noon?
I can't honestly say that because, and the big thing is David Perron. Perron is now a member of the Ottawa Senators because they haven't had too many changes with the team. Yzerman was able to sign a lot of good, solid B players. I mean, the Erik Gustafsson on the blue line, that's going to be interesting to see.
Is he markedly better than Gostisbehere, though? He's definitely lesser offensively. Defensively, in his own zone, he's okay. I mean, he couldn't be worse than Gostisbehere in that department, I guess.
I mean, we saw those games last year. The Wings were able to put the puck in the net. The fact they were able to put the puck in the net was good because, I mean, you were winning games like 6-4. You got to learn how to keep pucks out of your zone, out of your net. So, you know, Erik Gustafsson, he's not going to score a whole lot of goals for you, but he's going to play in his own zone, which, that's what you need. You need solid goaltending and defensemen, and also forwards who can't punch out and go home when the puck's in their own zone. They gotta get in those corners just as well. They're not alleviated from their duties.
Certainly not. But I can't argue that we'll take it by position by position here. The defense. You could argue that Gustafsson can't be worse defensively than Gostisbehere was. Definitely argue that he's a lesser offensive talent.
Yes.
But what did you replace Jake Walman with? So far,
that one hurt.
Nothing.
That one hurt. But like we said in the other segment, I think I did. Maybe I just said it internally. I think that it was a salary dump to make way for a deal that didn't happen. So, I mean, yeah, it hurt because not only was it Walman, but it was also a draft pick for future considerations. That's basically like, go ahead and you'll get me back later, fam. And it doesn't set well with me because Jake Walman, he was a workhorse. He did what you asked him to do.
And he did find himself on the score sheet, you know, surprisingly often, really.
Oh, at clutch times. How many times did we see the gritty last season?
So many gritties.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I was really disappointed to see him go. I was just as happy to see Patrick Kane come back for another year. But I mean, as far as, is it better? I wouldn't say they're worse, but I don't see any kind of anything where they're like, okay, yeah, we're definitely going to be better. Maybe more in goaltending, but I've just never been a big Cam Talbot fan. Prove me wrong, Cam. Prove me wrong. But I just have never been a Talbot fan. Jack Campbell, I've always been a Wolverine of that hockey club.
His best days are behind him.
He never had any good days. I mean, when he played for the Leafs, he played for this team, that team.
That's it. If we're putting the band back together, when are we getting Zach Hyman?
He's
like the last guy who's actually still relevant in this league that we're missing.
Yeah, bring it on.
To complete the whole thing.
Bring it on. Change the Red Wings colors to maize and blue, and let's just do this. But, I mean,
are we going to have someone on the sidelines, like, trying to get the other team's plays?
So, yes. Let's get Red Berenson in here. Is he still alive? Bring in Red Berenson.
Is he still alive? I honestly don't know.
Red Berenson, he's still alive.
Yeah, you're missing him and Kyle Connor, and that's it.
Those
are the last two. Get them in, and we may as well just change the name to the Detroit Wolverines.
There we go.
But no, I don't think you could definitely argue, okay, the goaltending is better by just the fact that you're subtracting James Reimer from it and adding Cam Talbot. Your defense is, I would argue, worse now than it was on Sunday, unless they really swing something crazy here and bring it and do manage to get Trouba to waive his no-trade clause. I don't see how that's better. You lost two key contributors and only replaced one of them thus far. And then, from the forwards, you got Kane back. Yes. You lost everyone else.
Yeah, I never heard about Sprong. Did Sprong go somewhere?
I don't know if Sprong signed anywhere, which would be odd for as much contribution as you got out of a guy that you only paid like $1 million for.
Yep.
Which was rather surprising. Yep, he's still listed as being with the Red Wings. He has not signed anywhere yet, which I have to admit, he made $2 million last season, and I am surprised, honestly, that someone hasn't picked him up. Is he just asking for too much money?
Because, I mean, maybe
he put up almost 20 goals last season and 25 assists. Like, you're going to tell me that dude can't get better number, it can't get $2 million from someone. Also, I did not realize how atrocious that man's hair is.
Yeah. I'm not seeing him on the lineup on Yahoo Sports for the Wings, so I don't know maybe if he signed somewhere or they just have not figured that he's going to be there. But, I mean, you've got Albert Johansson sticking around. They've extended him we're going back to defense here.
We're going back to minor leaguers?
But he's an option to bring in. You got William Lagesson, who they signed, Eric Gustafson, and then you still got Ben Chiarot, for what it's worth, Mo Sider.
Which ain't much.
Yeah. Ali Mata.
What do you know about the aforementioned Johansson and Lagesson, anything? Like, because these are not... Okay, Lagesson wasn't with us last...
No,
he was with the Anaheim Ducks last season.
Yep.
This is team number 5 in the last 3 years for him.
Oh, my.
And he's never scored an NHL goal. He is a net negative as... No, oh, he's a +2 as an NHLer. He was a -3 for 3 seasons with the Oilers and a -2 the end of last year with the Ducks. But, I mean, to be fair, I guess, when you set foot on the ice with the Ducks, you're automatically at least a -5.
Well, I don't know. He was +5 for... He must have split 2023 with Anaheim and Toronto.
He got traded to Toronto, I think, midseason.
Yeah, he was a +5 in Toronto. Was able to get 4 assists. But, you put somebody on a better team, that kind of helps you out. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not too familiar with this cat, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not seeing where he's played. He's going to be depth at best. Like, I don't think he's going to be someone who's going to be routinely cracking the Wings lineup necessarily. He's never played more than 40 games in a season in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's a reason for that. There,
I was really hoping to see more push for the blue line, both in free agency and in drafting. I think we got like one defenseman in the draft this past last week.
Two. Yeah, there was one in, I think, the third round and one in the seventh.
Yeah, okay. So that should tell you something right there. But, I mean, they need to work on defense. They should have really opened up the purse strings a little bit for Gostisbehere. They really should have. I think everybody's really kind of questioning as to what happened. Maybe he was just like, you know what?
Thanks, but no thanks?
Yeah, I'm wondering, but I don't know.
I mean, it would explain why he took less to sign with a bunch of jerks. They're at least, in theory, closer to playoff contention than we are.
He's played there before, hasn't he? He's been on that team before.
Well, he was with the, he was with the Flyers for, I believe, the majority of his career. Yeah, he did play for Carolina the second half of the 22-23 season before he came here. And the weird thing is, he didn't do much there. 3 goals and 7 assists in his in 23 games, so I guess that's not terrible, certainly.
No. It just may not be about money. It's about a chance to go to a team that you know is going to be a contender. The Wings are going to be contenders again. I mean, they were contenders towards the stretch. It's just, you can't lose that many games in a row and expect to be able to catch all the way up. The fight that the Wings had in them in April looked great. They were playing playoff. That was playoff hockey. But they got to remember that in October and November. They got to keep playing like that. They can't be letting in 4 goals on average a game, even if you are scoring 6 or 7 goals yourself. You can't. You got to bolster that blue line. You got to make your goalies better.
And they haven't. I mean, they improved the goaltending, you know, at least marginally with Talbot, but they didn't improve the blue line at all. And your options, unless, like I said, unless you're going to swing a blockbuster trade, your options to shore up the defense are very limited now in free agency. Like, that's been picked pretty clean.
Yeah, yeah.
And that concerns me.
Your Griffins... The defense on Griffins, I mean, you got Simon Edvinson doing, okay things. You got some people over in GR, but...
This strikes me very much as we're getting set up for, there's going to be, we're going to have to call all the kids up, there's going to be growing pains, and we're going to take a step back. And I'm sorry, I am not okay with year 6 of the rebuild taking a step back from a team that already didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that.
It is rough because in those years, we haven't made the playoffs. Yes, we have increased the points every season, but the climb is not quick enough. People are getting impatient. They're used to seeing the Wings in the playoffs come May. And it hasn't happened. But, I mean, the points, they were only a half point away from making the playoffs. They can continue that trajectory. I think they're going to be just fine. But, yeah, I mean,
I hope so.
Got to keep the puck out of your own net.
That's kind of a big one, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at basically what's left of the free agent defenseman. And we're getting pretty dry on the list here. You have Nate Schmidt, Jacob Muzzin, Tyson Berry, John Klingberg, and Adam Boqvist are the guys that you've actually heard of.
Boqvist and Berry, those two names would be very interesting. Tyson Berry, I believe, won a cup with Colorado. He's been on some really good teams. That would be interesting. Boqvist,
his production fell off a cliff last year in Columbus.
Yeah.
1 goal, 9 assists, and he was at -8. He's been a minus player every year that he's been in Columbus. He, in his 3 years with that team, he's been a -31.
Well, it's Columbus.
And in fact, he's been a minus player every year of his NHL career to date.
Well,
so that kind
of, we're talking about Boqvist or
Boqvist, yeah.
Yeah,
he's been a minus player every year, and the offensive production has fallen off a cliff.
That's
so, like, you're not really getting
why he's in free agency.
That would certainly be my guess. Tyson Berry, who I'd completely forgotten about until I saw that he was on this list. He 1 goal, 14 assists, was a -10 last year for Smashville.
Wow.
Yikes. Not great numbers. Again, kind of has fallen off a cliff since the Oilers traded him away to a great extent. Let's see. Is there any luck with Jake Muzzin? Anything better that we'll hear there?
Jake Muzzin?
He didn't play last year.
Ah.
Is he retired? Like, did I miss something there?
No.
Is he just out for the year? Like, what's going on there? sounds like, let's see, Klingberg. Things did not work out well for him last season. Okay, so Muzzin comes off the long-term injured reserve this year, and it's hard to say whether he's ever going to. Okay, so yeah, he's already basically retired. He's a scout now for the Maple Leafs.
Oh,
and Klingberg. There's talk that they could re-sign him in Toronto, but he's just not really like he. You'd be if you're going to sign him, you're taking a gamble on him at like league minimum at this point. He just did not perform as hoped for last year, which basically leaves us with Nate Schmidt, who last played for the Florida Panthers. He signed with the Panthers. It's apparently Hockey Reference says he signed, but I've not seen an official deal there. He was with Winnipeg the last three seasons and was decent offensively and defensively. Put it 14 points. Was a plus 10. You'll take either of those numbers. He must have signed somewhere, and just SpotTrack hasn't updated it.
Yeah,
because they're saying his current team is listed as the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, Schmidt. I can't.
Oh, yep. Yeah, sure enough.
Never mind. He's off the table.
He signed Wednesday. He signed Wednesday for a one season, $800,000 deal. So yeah, wow. There's basically nothing left. Like it's the scrap heap at this point. You got to hope that there's a trade being swung somewhere because there's not a whole lot. There's like basically nothing in free agency. We could have Tony DeAngelo. Does that name just excite you immensely? No, you either? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Well, I mean, why don't we hang around the Colorado Avalanche? Because they are so above the cap right now that they're going to have to make some moves, maybe be able to headhunt a couple defensemen from them. I don't know who, but, you know.
Like they're going to do a deal with us. Yeah. I don't see that happening. Unfortunately, as much as I would love that, and believe me, I would,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. I sit here today, 5 days or whatever into NHL free agency, and I just can't find myself buying that we're on the right path, that this rebuild is on the right track. And it's, you know, sorry to the Steve bots, but like it's really making me question the Iser plan here a little bit. Like, where it's sounding like there's just not a backup plan in place. Like, you give away assets before you knew that. Before you were able to even sign the guy that you needed to sign, like you had money under the cap to sign whoever to yeah. sign Stamkos, if that's what it was, without having to immediately go and make the Jake Walman trade. That's the thing that I don't necessarily get. Like,
yeah, that was perplexing.
You could have rectified that later on if you need to offload that deal. Instead, now you're left empty-handed and short defenseman, and that's just, I don't feel like that's good business.
No.
We got to hit a break. Stick around. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Just because it's the holiday weekend, don't think for a second that I forgot about our favorite bit that we do on this show, because, oh, let me tell you, I have not. That's right. It is once again time for Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. And quite frankly, I feel like we do this better than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living. Yeah, sure, we may ruin a life or two on the, you know,
it happens.
On the way here, but
sure.
You know, it happens. It's just part of the game, man. You just gotta, you know, like you always like to say, it's like cooking pancakes. You just got to burn the first one. So let's dive into this, shall we?
Yep.
Dear somebody who cares, months ago on a business trip, a female coworker and I attempted to meet up with others for drinks, but when everyone else bailed, we decided to still go out. After multiple rounds of drinks, bar hopping, and great conversation, I realized we had an intense connection. We had all the same interests, the same sense of humor, and we both really enjoyed the other's company and quirkiness. It was like meeting the other half of me that I didn't even know had been missing.
Uh-oh.
After the business trip, we continued to talk and meet up for drinks. The feelings got stronger, and I shared information with her that I had never told anyone. I felt like I could be my genuine self with her, which is a feeling I have not had in a long time. The way she looks at me still gives me chills as I write this. Great, right?
Sounds good, yeah. That sounds like no problem whatsoever.
Well, yes, but I'm married.
Of course.
With a daughter, and another baby on the way.
Oh, no.
My coworker is single with no kids. I have never been truly happy in my marriage. Yes, there were times when I was happy, but not truly happy. My wife and I broke up prior to getting married because I recognized I wasn't happy back then. But then we got back together shortly after because I felt guilted by family and friends. We've been together since high school, so I don't think I truly knew how connected two people could be until I met this other woman. I compare my marriage to vanilla ice cream. It's good until you've had a rocky road, then wow. I was content in my marriage. I had a good life, good job, nice house, all the things that come with that. But now, I feel like there's more out there. Eventually, my wife found out about this.
Okay.
But she still wants to work on the marriage. For me, there's a comfort to staying in the marriage. It's just that I have difficulty being my true self with my wife. That, combined with the lack of intimacy in our relationship, makes me wonder if I would be happier with a divorce. I still love my wife, but I'm not in love with her. There is no more spark. I've tried marriage counseling, but I think it's actually made things worse because I've learned to express my feelings more. My wife doesn't like that I oppose her ideas or express that something she says upsets or hurts me. I feel much better when I'm actually heard, but the resulting fights are frustrating because they are fruitless. So I'm left wondering, do I stay in a mediocre marriage for the kids, or do I leave for my own interest? When I look down either road, I can see only fear or regret. What do I do?
Well, first of all, you are what's commonly referred to as a POS. I'll let people give them some time to Google what that stands for.
Right.
You think you have a connection with this person, and maybe you do. You have a connection with a coworker that you met on a business trip. You really get along. Maybe that first couple of days was just magical, as opposed to the years and years and years you had with your wife, which I'm sure at that point when you first met was magical and such a connection. Then there's probably no way you would ever get really bored of your coworker and your apple of your eye.
And they'll just be the perfect person forever and ever. I'm sure that's exactly how that's going to work out.
You know what? I think you should just go. You got a baby on the way. You got a young kid. You're a trashy human being because you're basically saying, oh, I'm just with her because of my friends. My friends make me be with her. I'm with her because I have a kid on the way. And there's no intimacy. There had to have been intimacy at some point, pal.
You
got
a kid, like, on the, kid on the kids. Way. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody taught you how this works. You know what? Divorce her because she deserves better. Go ahead and go for the bright lights of whoever she is, your coworker. Go for it. And I hope that she finds somebody much better than you who raises your kids. I hope he teaches your kid how to ride a bike before you do. I really think.
Wow.
Yeah.
My, you are really just doubling down. I am impressed. And just how much vitriol you have for this
man.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not used to that out of you on these segments.
I hope they refer to you as Weekend Dad.
Wow.
I mean, I had somewhere else I was going with this, but I'm just so angry at this guy.
You got yourself quite worked up into a tizzy there, sir.
Such a D-bag. I mean, it's like vanilla ice cream. You've grown complacent with your wife. That's fine. It happens. But you've just got it in your head that I should be completely excited all the time. And if I'm not, well, then it's my partner's fault. It's somebody else's fault. You're a trashy human being. Divorce her. Let her find true happiness. You go and try to find your quote-unquote true happiness. And, stay out of her life.
I think that's the best thing you could do for all parties involved, really. Like, clearly you're not happy here. And I don't think there's anything that can be done to salvage the marriage that you're currently in. That much is readily apparent. Like,
yeah.
Whatever you do, it's not going to make you happy in the marriage that you're in. And from the sounds of it, you haven't been happy in this marriage for quite some time. So, yeah, you probably should leave.
Oh, if he did stay the whole time, he would be resenting her, resenting the kids. Oh, I had my true happiness. I found my yin to my yang.
And I gave it up for you.
To live with my wife. Oh.
Can you imagine something so terrible? I find it hard to believe that. I mean, maybe she really is as much to blame, if not more so, for the state of your marriage being unhappy. But it certainly doesn't appear as though there's anything that's going to happen at this point that is going to convince you that...
Never in the letter does he say that, you know, the co-worker felt the same way. They just got along. They hung out and they've been talking after this business trip. They never said they went on dates and they were romantically involved. Wouldn't it just be delicious if he decides to go ahead and dump his wife and his kids and his life and then, hey, I'm single now. Listen, Larry, they're always named Larry. I just don't think of you that way.
That would be pretty hilarious.
And he's got to go crawling back to his ex-wife, who she now has, you know, Ricardo. The Latin lover that she found while weeping at a cafe. His kids now all speak Spanish.
Hey, it turns out you were right. I am way better off without you. This was the best thing you ever could have done.
Well, mommy really likes Ricardo a lot more. They go in the bedroom and I know they're praying because she just keeps yelling, Jesus, Jesus.
Good Lord. But
so much better than my ex-husband. I don't know what that meant, Dad.
what she meant by that.
Apparently you don't pray hard enough like Ricardo does.
So before we get too far down the rails here.
Yeah.
I would laugh so hard if that ends up being the case. You leave and you think that, oh, this is just gonna be the perfect woman, and then yeah, she has no romantic interest in you whatsoever. And you probably should have confirmed that before you started talking about divorce. Did you ever have you actually put it out there? Because I know guys who are stupid enough that would do something like that.
Yep.
They blow up their relationship for someone else only to find out, I don't really think of you that way. And in fact, with all of that, like, I kind of think that you're kind of a jerk.
Your pregnant wife? Just because we both like the same episode of Big Bang Theory? Are you crazy right now?
Are you out of your mind? Like, that's how
blocks him on Facebook,
right?
Move to another job.
But hey, at least you're out of that unhappy vanilla marriage now.
Yeah, now you're on the rocky road.
That you certainly are. Tony from Stone's Throw Theaters in studio with us. Would you like to try and give some try your hand at the unsolicited advice here?
No.
Like, I am staying out of this.
I walked in on the tail end, and I don't, no.
the long and short of it, guy wants to leave his wife and the mother of his two kids, one of which he's currently pregnant with, for his coworker that he hit it off with.
Great. That's just great.
Story as old as time, isn't it?
You know what? It's not a new story. Honest to God.
And does it ever really work?
It's filled with regret.
Yeah.
For all parties involved. And you're leaving children unhappy and lonely and...
Once I've been born, yeah, he won't recognize... He or she will not remember you ever being there.
Yeah.
Give them a chance to not have a house full of regret because you got to have your rocky road.
Yeah.
And then you're not even going to get your rocky road.
Nope. No, I get vanilla.
They're on yourself like pistachio or something.
You're gonna have to settle for self-serve ice cream if you know what I'm saying. And then you're gonna get too old. It's gonna be soft serve.
Oh, we're on a roll. Let's dive into another one of these, shall we?
I know.
I think I just spent my entire load of advice giving, but let's try it.
Right, dear. Well. Maybe Tony can actually give me a real advice here.
Oh,
I have an acquaintance I became friendly with 20 years ago through a mutual friend. The acquaintance now lives in another state. She is a taker and a talker, and I have nothing in common with her. She's made racist comments and left me speechless and unable to respond. I regret not being able to speak up at that time. This woman stayed with me at my house a few years ago, which was awkward and uncomfortable. I respond to her text out of politeness. I don't contact her. She's just contacted me to say she's visiting my state in 2 months. I don't want to get together with her, but I responded by telling her we could check in closer to the date. I do not want her to stay at my house. I'd be okay with lunch, although she's cheap and trying to find a way to get me to pay for it. I like how you find appropriate words to use when responding to difficult situations. What is your advice?
Mine?
Sure.
Don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Just let it go. Cut bait. At a certain point, all friendships, you sort of have to do a cost analysis. And either it's worth the investment of it and the aggravation, which there tends to be with all friendships and in great times as well. But if this person is really causing you that much frustration and aggravation and you don't want to see them, stop answering the phone. Stop answering the text. If you feel like you need to give her a reason, then give her the reason. Be honest.
I mean, yeah, some people feel comfortable. There's not a lot of people that feel comfortable with honesty, but I think that would be the best route. It's like, listen, I've known you for 20 years. I just feel like we've kind of drifted apart. You live in another state. My life just doesn't lend itself to hanging out with you. You POS.
I like that you always throw in the little dig at the end. I know how this goes because I've dealt with this exact situation. As you well know, Adam.
Yeah.
Where there was someone who in my life that really was not on the good side of the cost-benefit analysis, who also conveniently happened to make racist comments and rather say some very misogynist things.
Yes.
And I just, at some point, decided I can't be friends with this person anymore because they really crossed the line in that regard.
Yeah.
And I pretty much did what Tony describes. So stopped responding, stopped answering the calls, unfriended on Facebook.
Timeout on the field. Hang on a second. Yeah, you did all that, but you also did the equivalent of toss a hand grenade into a garbage can and walk away.
To be fair, he lit that match, pulled that pin on that grenade before I tossed it back at him. And I had to be honest, like, dude, you have been kind of a terrible human being for a long time. Quite frankly, I'm amazed I put up with this for as long as I have, and much less than any of these other people have to. So if the just trying to back away slowly and quietly doesn't work, and that person then just insists on, say, reactivating every Facebook chat you ever had and calling you everything but a good person, then that's when you go and you deliver the blunt honesty.
Yep.
If you can just exit as civil human beings, do it. If not, well, you know, sometimes there's just things that have to be done. Don't go to lunch with them. Like, clearly you're not comfortable with hanging out with this person. Why prolong your torture any longer than you absolutely have to?
There you go.
Just pull the plug. Don't answer the phone. If they insist on, you know, having a reason for you backing out, then you can tell them just what a garbage human they really truly are.
There you go.
Let's hit a break. We'll come back and close things out next on Happy Hour.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour here on a 4th of July weekend as we get set to get out of here for the rest of the weekend. Real quick, since we have Tony from Stone's Throw Theater in studio with us, you've got some cool things coming up this summer, don't you?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up. Actually, Monday we start our summer musical theater camp. That runs for 3 weeks with kids between the age of 12 and 17. In which we're doing a final performance of Schoolhouse Rocks, the musical. Wow. So, which is fun. It's fun. It's all those great shows of like Interplanetary Janet and Conjunction Junction and Three is a Magic Number.
That's my favorite.
I know. Yeah. And so, I mean, a whole generation of people, or more than one, grew up with these on Saturday morning. And so they've sort of put them all together into a musical that the kids are learning over the next 3 weeks. And then our performance will be on the final Saturday of the month, the 27th of July, at the Lapeer High School.
Ooh.
At 2 o'clock. All tickets are $10, general seating. And the kids just do a great job. This is our third year that we've done a summer musical theater camp, and it just keeps growing. And we've got great support from local service organizations, and Lapeer Community Schools is one of our sponsors, as well as the Optimist and Kiwanis, and we've got E.G. Nick's and Vinyl Bar and Grill and Brian's Restaurants all on board. The Lapeer County Press also is a sponsor. So, I mean, we're so blessed to be in a community that supports us for Arts for the Kids and giving them a three-week musical theater camp. So it's pretty amazing. It's fun to watch it all come together.
Do you ever see, like, kids getting involved and there's, like, they're in their shell?
Oh, yeah.
Very introverted. And towards the end,
yeah,
you realize that there's a blossoming of sorts?
Yep. And it's one of the most delightful things to witness is, or having parents or grandparents come up to you after the show and saying, "What did you do to my kid?" Because they were painfully shy and they all of a sudden discover that they have this talent. They have this skill. The first couple of days are rough because kids are oftentimes sort of overwhelmed with meeting new people, meeting new kids,
yeah,
working in a quasi-professional sort of space with music director and choreographer and theater director and stage manager. And so they get a little bit overwhelmed. And by day two, you usually have a couple of kids that are sort of crying or in a corner rocking, going, "What am I?" And we just calmly talk them off. We really work with them, and honestly, they turn out some of the best performances. And then what you hear later is that the kids are then participating in musical theater in their own schools when they go back to school. And we see that every year, and it's usually more than just one kid or one example. And so it's fun. And then we also have a number of kids that return from year to year. We have some kids that have been with us for 3 years that just love coming to summer camp for 3 weeks.
Do you ever, and you can tiptoe around the question or you can bypass it altogether, but sure, do you ever deal with stage parents?
No.
Really?
Really, no. I mean, the parents are fantastic. You know, they drop the kids off at 10 in the morning. They come back a little more decompressed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But the kids, you know, they have a full day. And then the restaurants that I mentioned, they all provide a lunch.
Oh, wow.
For the kids, so that we know the kids are eating well, that they're drinking water, they're hydrated, they're getting a full, they work hard. They work 5 days a week for 3 weeks with the final performance. And we really haven't had any stage mommies or daddies.
Excuse me, my Dakota needs to have a better, bigger role.
No. And you know, we don't even audition. The camp is an all voice matters. So, I mean, you don't have to audition to get into the camp. We take literally anybody that has an interest in musical theater or theater. And then we just see how to put it together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's one of my favorite projects of the year.
How can kids get involved? How can parents get their kids involved?
They actually could still get involved if you want to go to our website. We do have slots still open for summer camp. It is a tuition-based camp. We do have some scholarship monies available to get kids in. But if you go to stonesthrowtheater.org, click on Summer Camp 24, and order the registration and fill out the form. We can also take you on Monday at 10 o'clock.
Do you accept money to add to the scholarships, like if somebody wanted to donate?
If anyone wants to donate, absolutely. We are a nonprofit 501c3.
Oh.
So, you know, companies, businesses, individuals can contribute to underwrite a scholarship or for a tuition for a kid should need it. And we've got about half of the camp goes on scholarship.
It's tax deductible.
Yeah, it's tax deductible. So, we'll be glad to get more kids involved. I think it would just be an amazing summer.
And then when is the actual performance?
The performance is on Saturday the 27th. So the kids will go through 3 full weeks of rehearsal and camp, and then on Saturday they put on a performance at the high school at 2 o'clock at the Lapeer High School auditorium.
How are you doing on the way of costumes and props?
Oh my gosh, that's my territory. I okay. love it. You know, we just really have a fun time putting the show together, creating the environment, and so loosely this story is about a teacher who is first day of teaching, and he is having nervousness about teaching a class, and the kids sort of come in and Schoolhouse Rocks takes over his apartment living room.
Okay.
And so he gets a lesson in education himself.
Oh,
which is okay. sort of fun. It's just great. It's fun. I don't know why I get so nerdy and giddy about it.
It sounds fun. Well, Tony, thank you so much for dropping by.
Absolutely.
As we get ready to close out the show this afternoon, we do have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of, such as it is, in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls. Happy Hour would like to apologize to Dogs, Dorothy, Billy Huso, Billy Hosa, Daniel Sprong, and Jacob Truba, and Jacob Truba's wife. We're sorry. We gotta go. Stick around. Sessions is up next, and then we rejoin your Radio X Throwback Takeover Weekend already in progress. We'll be back Monday afternoon at 3. See ya.